WCBS News Time 7:41.
We've been promising and we are delivering right on time for the first time in our brand new home at Hudson Square, and with the sun shining in that gorgeous view of a window, we are honored today to have Mayor Bloomberg visiting us live in studio. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me and congratulations on your new headquarters.
What do you think of the new digs?
Pretty fancy.
Yeah.
That's what we think.
Must be making a lot of money to be able to afford this in City Hall. We're dealing with old stuff.
You know? Somebody is, not us, but somebody is.
Well, I think we'll start with a conversation about money, the story that affects all New Yorkers, and we've been talking about certainly all morning in our newscast. The state Senate and Assembly last night and early this morning approved that tax code change proposed by the governor, lowering taxes for some, raising it for the wealthy. What do you think?
Well, the governor inherited a very difficult fiscal situation in the state, and he's trying to deal with it. And I'm not going to second guess him. He's the one that's got to make these kinds of decisions along with the legislature. And hopefully it'll be the right ones, and the state will continue to grow.
I'm not sure, but I think you fall in that tax bracket that gets the tax hike. Are you okay with that?
Every year I look at my tax bill and say, thank God I'm making some money that I can pay taxes. Although, keep in mind, I make a dollar a year for the city.
Go ahead, Pat.
Here in the city, there has been some talk of a property tax hike to try to help with the budget situations that you've been facing. What's up with that?
We have no intention of raising taxes, not even being discussed, and that will be. It will not be.
What about education? A report yesterday, the cost of that we have been talking about this morning, about the report card from the federal government about the New York City schools that wasn't as good as maybe some would have wanted, but you say is better than a lot of the state, right?
Well, it's better than a lot of the state, and there was a piece by a well-known educator in the Daily News, I think it was today, pointing out that given budget problems, given the economy, it's amazing that New York has done as well as it has, because all of those things influence your ability to teach, your ability to provide services, parents' ability to make sure that their children do their homework and that sort of thing. So it's not necessarily bad news. It's nowhere near as good as we'd want it to be, but I think this article concluded, and I agree with him, the things that we've been doing are the right things, and we've just got to keep doing that. We've got to close failing schools. We've got to keep increasing the compensation for our teachers when we can afford to do so. We've got to ask them to do more, and sometimes with less than a particular school. The parents are part of this. The kids are part of this. Education is, there's no simple answers to education. I talked to Ernie Duncan, the president's secretary of education, yesterday. We have a problem around the world and around this country. The skill sets you need to have a good job keep going up. And so we're always trying to raise the standards in schools and keep improving the students' ability to take the jobs that are going to be available down the road.
Yeah, the education's so important in this time where unemployment is so high for so long. As a businessman yourself, obviously, how do we get the jobless rate back down? How do we create those jobs?
What you're seeing is we always have talked about the value of an education, and it's just become part of everybody's stock speech. You have to have an education to share in the great American dream, or the dream of freedom and being self-sufficient around the world. You're starting to see the real economic impact of that. Unemployment among college-educated people is about 4%, although on recent graduates it is a lot higher. But overall, college graduates have 4% unemployment rate, and those who dropped out of high school have something north of 25%. That is a gap that is going to grow the difference between the haves and the have-nots unless we can do something about education. It's the single biggest determinant of your ability to get and keep a job. And if you take a look, automation is taking out the repetitive jobs, jobs where you can move and you don't have to be close to your customers, move to the lowest salaried place in the world, the lowest labor cost. And if we want to have good jobs with real benefits for our people, it's going to have to be jobs where the value added is great enough to justify more compensation. Those jobs require more skills, and you get back to education. But keeping this country friendly for business, I've argued the federal government should let the Bush tax cuts expire for everybody and should adopt the Simpson Bowl cuts. That would balance the budget, and I think that would create enough confidence that you'd see banks starting to loan and businesses starting to take loans and create jobs. If Washington stays with gridlock and this, blame everybody and blame you and I, because we don't demand more out of Washington, we're at fault as well. If we allow the paralysis that's been going on to continue, then we're really going to have this problem continue and maybe even grow worse.
You're listening to Mayor Bloomberg live in studio with us here on WCBS at 7:46, and our City Hall reporter Rich Lamb is with us as well.
Mr. Mayor, you have been emphasizing the importance of the five-borough taxi plan for a while. Why is it so important? Where are we in Albany with that? Is it going to pass?
Well, it's important for two reasons. From a short-term reason, it would generate $1 billion to help us close our budget gap this coming year and the year after. And without that, we'd have a much bigger problem than we would with that. We're going to get more money from the taxi medallion sales that are part of this. The long-term reason that this just has to get done is that 4.5 boroughs in the city basically don't have taxi service. You can't hail a cab in Staten Island, Brooklyn, Queens, and the Bronx, and in Manhattan north of 96th Street. When you get into a cab south of 96th Street in Manhattan and you say, I want to go to any of those other places, something like a quarter or a third of the drivers say, I'm not going. Just cannot have that happen. And so we've worked very hard with the legislature and the governor. I think every issue has been addressed. All of the new medallion cabs would be handicap accessible. We have a reasonable number of medallions for the different kind of medallion for the livery cabs, what you call the black cabs as opposed to yellow cabs. It would give the people in these other boroughs real service. Those cabs would have all of the technology that's needed to make sure they can know that they're getting charged fairly and that they're taking the best, most efficient route to get where they're going to go. This is a bill that should be passed, and the governor has assured me a number of times that it is going to get passed. And he had at one point said there were some minor changes he wanted to make. I assume those are all made. They've certainly had plenty of time in Albany to do so.
There was a report yesterday. The cost of extending the number 7 line to the west side has ballooned, and the Hudson Yards development project could leave the city on the hook for more than $500 million.
Yeah, I don't know where those numbers come from. I think it's a different counting. Now, fundamentally, the subway line, which incidentally is being built by the MTA but being built with city money, is basically on schedule, on budget, if you start counting different things in there. And the west side is about to really happen. This is something that has been a dream of city planners for decades, generations here in New York City, and with the coach agreeing to move to a related building over on the west side, you're going to see the whole west side just balloon with new buildings and jobs and housing and hotels. And part of it is because once you have a subway going there, people can get back and forth. If they can't, you just can't build because people can't get there. You have to have that transportation, and the taxpayers of New York City reached into their pockets when the state did not come up with any money to build a subway. They haven't built a subway in a long time other than the 2nd Avenue, and in all fairness, a little bit to East Side Access. Those projects have some big problems. But this one, all the boring has been done, and we're working on it. And the MTA deserves a lot of credit for the job that they've done in the building, as to the New York City taxpayers for coming up with the cash.
Mr. Mayor, just a quick question. We understand that at Bloomberg, or at least when you ran Bloomberg, there were free snacks up there for everybody in the radio station. Is that correct?
It's been a long time, Rich. Your boss just asked me to say it's been a long time. I can't really remember.
Rich stole my question.
But yes, we do have an extensive snack bar in all of our offices around the world. It's one of the things that's one of our signature things. I've always believed that it's a small expense for a lot of satisfaction among the employees and letting them stick with their jobs, working and being proud and happy where they work.
All healthful stuff, undoubtedly?
Well, as long as you count Cheez-Its, which is one of my addictions, is helpful.
Dairy.
I actually
dairy.
Don't know where they have Cheez-Its these days.
They probably make salt-reduced Cheez-Its. That would help, right?
Yeah, actually, when we talk about salt, the salt on potato chips, for example, is not the issue. The salt in a muffin is the issue. It's really amazing. The salt you think that's a problem is not. The salt you know don't see is the problem. But keep in mind, life expectancy in New York City is 19 months greater than it was 10 years ago. Just think about that. On average, everybody in the city is living a year and 7 months longer, and it's because of some of the public health things, smoking in particular. But we have the fewest accidents by transportation accidents, pedestrian and cars, fewest deaths than we've ever had in history, going back to the horse and buggy days. Fewest deaths by fire since you go back to when fire engines were being pulled by people and horses. We're going to have the second lowest murder rate this year we've ever had. Not quite going to get number one, but we're going to be very close to it. We have the fewest number of people smoking on record.
You know, we kid about this whole snack thing and everything and the health aspects.
Rich didn't sound like he was kidding.
He was deadly serious. But, you know, do you consider that to be really one of the main legacies that you'll be leaving as you move on?
Public health stuff? Yeah, I hope so. I mean, if government's job isn't to make people, allow people to live longer, healthier lives, I don't know what is.
I wanted to get your take, Mayor Bloomberg, joining us here on WCBS Live this morning on the MF Global situation. We just got a peek at Governor Corzine's statement that he's going to make to that congressional hearing today. He apologizes. He doesn't know where the money went. You're a Wall Street guy. You're the head of Bloomberg. Give me your take on what may have happened there. And as a chief, if a risk officer comes to you and says, you got to stop investing in those European bonds, or if a risk officer comes to anything with you of a concern like that, how do you weigh that concern against your own intuition?
You have to come to a balance, because a risk officer's job is to point out every single risk, and in fact, growth in business is taking risks. It's taking intelligent risks, and sometimes you only know retrospectively whether they were intelligent risks. I do not know what happened with this. I suspect that there was an awful lot of sloppy bookkeeping as opposed to malfeasance, but I really don't know, and particularly near the end when it's a crisis and everybody's trying to save things and people maybe sometimes do things that in retrospect they shouldn't have done, but maybe it's more than that. I just don't know. It's a long time before the investigation comes out, and my sympathies are certainly with the customers of the firm who have their funds frozen, and with the employees of the firm, and we'll see what happens. I don't know what Governor Corzine is going to say when he's before the Senate and House committees. He has a problem because of the legal risks of whether he should say anything. News stories that I read this morning, he had gotten a lot of unsolicited advice to not say anything, but he'll have to make that decision.
Before we wrap up, we know you've got to move on, but we're coming up almost on the year anniversary of the Christmas blizzard, and of course, the cold weather has just returned to our area, so now we're all starting to think a little more about winter. You feel ready this time? The city's ready?
Yeah, I think if you were to have a holiday weekend with a bigger than forecast blizzard and lots of cars and buses and trucks stuck, you're going to have a problem. But the men and women of the sanitation department work very hard. I think there were some allegations last time that they didn't, and those allegations proved to be unfounded. I think there's virtually no evidence that they did anything other than try their very best. Nature is difficult. We have more equipment today than we did a year ago. We've planned more than we did a year ago. I would have told you the same thing that last year versus the previous year. We're just going to be out there. I am confident that we'll be able to handle it, and that you're going to see the same great performance from all the different city agencies. The MTA is a state agency, but working well with them. Joe Loder is the new head of the MTA, and he's a very smart guy, and we certainly have lots and lots of conversations with him and how mass transit fits into the snow removal and dealing with the snow issue. Office of Emergency Management, police, fire, ambulance, and particularly the key agency is the sanitation department. And, they're as ready as they can possibly be, and they're gung-ho, and they take great pride in the job they do. And I think you can ask them only to work 24/7. They do that. These are people who look at the job they have as ways to not only make a living, but to make a difference in the city, and they do.
Mayor Michael Bloomberg, thanks for stopping by our new home here at Hudson Square. Don't be a stranger.
Well, it depends how well Rich Lamb treats me when he introduces me.
All right, we're going to see him for a while. Cheez-Its.
The question he keeps asking me is, why do people confuse me with Brad Pitt? And as long as he does that, he'll be the first on my list of people to call on.
Thanks so much for helping us inaugurate our new space.
Thanks for having me.
WCBS News Time 7:56.